Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this beautiful fall day. And it's great to have you here today. Have a few announcements. First, the deacons are not meeting after church today. They'll meet after church next week. But gotta have a meeting. So the Women's Association will be meeting in the library after church in the library. Session is meeting Wednesday at 7 p.m. And there is a craft and bake show coming up on October 28th. Baked goods are needed. Talk to BJ. She would love to have your help. Also note here that Leonard had a new home built, and his new address is in the bulletin, so take note of that if you want to contact Leonard. And finally, the beautiful flowers in sanctuary today are in recognition of 54 years of marriage of Carol and John King. Congratulations. We all wish you a very happy anniversary. In the pews, there is a red pad, so please mark down your attendance so we have a record of you coming today. And with that, I have a projection, call to worship. Let's do the call to worship and we'll start from there.
Come, let us celebrate forgiving, reconcile, love of God.
For once we were lost and fell so far away, now we have been found and welcome home.
Know that God's love is lavished upon you forever.
We rejoice at the news of forgiveness and hope.
Come, let us celebrate and praise the God of love.
Okay. Our first hymn of praise is Come Live in the Light, number 749. Please stand. read the prayer confession in unison today. Holy God, hear our prayer. Sometimes our lives are a mess because of the choices we have made or because of choices others have made. Sometimes our lives are great and we're kind and generous. Sometimes our lives are great and we forget to be grateful to humble. We trust that in the humble of all this, you are present. We trust that you are walking with us astray, nudging us back to the right path, slowing us down when we get ahead of you, waiting for us when we lag behind. Thank you and ask you for forgiveness and pray you will stay with us throughout the journey. Amen. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
And please join with me now to repeat the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day, He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Now turn to your friends and neighbors and greet them.
Ethan and Jonathan, come on up and join us. It's lonely up here. Thank you. Okay, I have a story for you guys today. It's real short. And then after we
plenty of time.
After I read it, I want to talk about it. Are you tired? Okay, Justin's Papak picked him up every day at school at 3 o'clock. Papak lived right across the street from Justin's school. Papak lived on the fifth floor of his apartment building. One day, Justin and Papak waited for the elevator, and when it opened, someone was in there. It was Gussie. She lived on the third floor. She was a nice lady, but sometimes she said things that were better left unsaid. Gussie had hurt Papap's feelings. They had not talked to each other for months. Justin was happy to see Gussie, and he greeted her in the elevator. Papap was quiet. Gussie was happy to see Justin, and she told him that it was her birthday, and she was 90 years old. Justin wished her a happy birthday. That is old, isn't it? Gussie said that there was one thing she wanted for her birthday. She wanted Justin to tell his papap to accept her apology and shake hands with her. Justin thought that shaking hands was a wonderful thing to do, and he told papap to shake hands with Gussie. Papap thought about it for a minute, and then he reached out his hand to Gussie, and they shook hands. When When the elevator stopped on the third floor, Gussie stepped out and headed for her apartment. She turned to say goodbye to Justin and Pap-Pap as tears came to her eyes. That day, Justin became a peacemaker. Find my... Okay. How do you think Gussie felt when Pap-Pap was mad at her and wouldn't forgive her? Got any ideas? Well, obviously she was upset, and she was sorry that she had hurt her friend, and she was trying to get him to forgive her, but he didn't want to. How do you think Pap-Pap felt during that time? Do you think he was happy? No, I don't think so either. Yes, both Gussie and Pap-Pap were unhappy, and Justin was the peacemaker when he stepped in and asked Pap-Pap to forgive Gussie. How do you think everyone felt after Pap-Pap accepted Gussie's apology? Do you think they were all happy? I think so too. Have you ever had someone do something mean to you and you got so mad at them that you thought your head was going to explode? And you got so mad that you didn't ever want to forgive that person? Well, I know it's happened to me. And how do you feel during that time when you're so mad and won't forgive that person? Do you feel good?
Nope.
Not at all. I know that, I know that when I couldn't forgive someone, I thought I was punishing them, but I was really miserable too, because I just kept reliving that thing over and over again. But when I decided to forgive the person, I felt much better. So forgiveness is as much for you as it is for the person that you're forgiving. It takes a big load off your shoulders and it feels like freedom. Or you could be the peacemaker when you see two other people who are mad at each other. You can step in and encourage forgiveness. You can do what Justin did, help two people come together and be friends again. Can you guys think of someone who always forgives you no matter what you do?
My brother.
Your brother. Well, that's a good answer. That's nice. But the one person that we know that always forgives all of us is Jesus. He will always forgive us no matter what we do, and he doesn't hold grudges. He will always love you and forgive you, so we need to follow Jesus' example, the way he forgives us, and we need to find a way to forgive others what they do. And we also need to be peacemakers and help others to forgive. Everyone benefits from forgiveness. Can we bow for a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for all the times you have forgiven us. Please help us to find the good in others and be willing to forgive them. We thank you for these young people, our loving church family, and this nice rainy Sunday morning. Thank you for coming.
Follow me if I must know your name. Morning.
Morning.
This morning we have a few prayer requests. The first one is from Sandy Salmon for her friend Danielle. This is a friend from her apartment building who went into the hospital with pneumonia, and they found he has a heart condition. He's in serious condition in ICU. Prayers that the doctors find the cause and they're able to treat, and also ask that we pray for Lydia, that she finds comfort in knowing power to heal. Kathy Segi is asking for prayer for it's Tony and the homeless. Oh, is it praise? I'm sorry. Tony and the homeless multi-billionaire. She's a prayer of praise for a man named Tony, a gentleman from the town who shared a remarkable story which revived her feelings that there are still marvelous, remarkable, kind-hearted, humble people in this nation and in this city. Tony and his story was an inspirational event that changed her life. And then Cliff has asked for prayer requests for all of those affected by the Las Vegas shooting. Lynn, our secretary, had a cousin who was injured in the shooting. Cliff's niece had a friend who was also injured. And also I know that Mona Tagge was out there at that time too, and had some dealings with some of the scariness and everything that was going on there. And Cliff just asked that we pray for all those affected. And now, if you would please, a hymn of meditation, the servant song, hymn number 727.
You live in me, your soul.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day, for this beautiful church in which to worship, and for this beautiful church family with which to worship. We ask that you be with us over the next months as we start a new journey, continue on a journey we started months ago. Be with the pulpit nominating committee and help them to find a pastor that is the right pastor to serve this very special church family. Be with the nominating committee as they search to find people to serve on our boards. Help them to find people with open minds and open hearts who are willing to say yes and to serve you in a new capacity. Lord, we ask for your blessings on those who are not with us today, those who are ill, and those who are lazy and thought that a rainy Sunday was a better day to stay in bed. We ask for Daniel and for Lydia. We ask for your care and love on the victims and their families who have been affected by so many tragedies of late, 3 hurricanes and a very terrible shooting. Help us to understand these things and help those affected to come through stronger, knowing that you're there to support them. We give praise for Tony and for other people like Tony who have been helpers all their lives, specifically during these troubled times when we need helpers and caregivers so very desperately. Dear Lord, we ask all of these things and give thanks to these things all. Through Jesus' name, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now give our gifts to the Lord.
Today's readings are fairly short. We're reading from Exodus, Proverbs, and Timothy. First is from Exodus 18, verse 21. You should also look for able men among all the people, men who fear God, are trustworthy, and hate dishonest gain. Set such men over them as officers over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Proverbs 16:9, the human mind plans the way, but the Lord directs these steps. Timothy 3:1-7, the saying is sure, whoever aspires to the office of the bishop desires a noble task. Now a bishop must be above reproach, married only once, temperate, sensible, respectful, hospitable, and an apt teacher. Not a drunkard, not a violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, and not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, keeping his children submissive and respectful in every way. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may be puffed up with the conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by the outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace and the snare of the devil. Praise the Lord.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
My understanding, because I wasn't here last week, was Jim Eicher basically said we are passing out little questionnaires for everyone to fill in. They came out both as an electronic message from Reverend Wood and also hard copies, which were in the back. And I see a number of people have returned them at this point. If anyone has not had a copy, I have multiple ones here. Anyone need a copy? Okay. So what's going to happen next? We're going to take the copies that have been returned and we're going to make a short analysis to see what we're looking for. And the scripture this morning sort of mentioned everything we're looking for: honest, trustworthy, not a recent convert. So, and what will be next on the agenda for the PNC is to have focus groups. We'll have a sign-up sheet somewhere in the back. These are, as the questionnaires are anonymous, there's no name taking, there's no recordings or anything like that. So everybody's going to have a chance to say their feelings, what they would like to add to the new minister. So be aware that this will be coming out probably within the next week or so. We do have another pastoral nominating committee coming up by the end of the month. And we'll be able to, again, analyze that information, and then we comprise a list mission statement that we want to send into Presbytery. We turn that over to Presbytery, and at that point, then Presbytery gives us some nominations. They put out, I guess, the list of people that would like to apply to be the minister here in Glen Chaw Valley. Yes?
Did you say that there's another nominating committee that's going to be formed?
No. This is,
I couldn't hear you.
The pastoral nominating committee has another meeting by the end of the month.
Oh, a meeting.
The five of us. So we're going to take the information from these sheets and the focus groups and sit down and then comprise a mission statement that we want to submit to Presbytery.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Yes. I think maybe what she was talking about was forming the focus groups as to how people want to, like you said, express their feelings. But there is a nominating committee, but we want a focus group from the congregation who will give us more in detail of what they feel the qualities of a pastor should be.
Did everybody hear that? What Kathy said was, we're going to have focus groups. It's not going to be another nominating committee. It's going to be open to everyone who's in the church. And we're going to sit down. There are five of us on the pastoral nominating committee. One of us will supervise. And it will be extremely small groups so that everybody has a chance to voice their own beliefs, their own desires for the pastor. And once we get that information along with this, then we submit that to Presbytery, and then they submit that up so we can have nominations, people coming who want to be our pastor. And then the selection process goes on from that point. We get 10 people, we have to look at each one of them, we have to make a decision and offer the job to that person, and hopefully that will be the end of the issues. Are there any questions? Thank you. If you haven't turned this in, the box is in back there.
Well, thank you. I know one of the things that takes a lot of effort on the pastor nominating committee, pulpit nominating committee, is to build the ministry information form. There's a lot of work and effort that has to go into that, and that's what described to potential candidates, you know, what are we looking for in this church, what are we all about, what's our history, those types of things. So there's a fair amount of work that needs to be done in filling out this MIF. And then that goes out on the Presbytery, and there's an electronic way for people to submit their pastor information forms, their PIFs. And the PIFs will be reviewed by the PNC to take a look at it and see which one of the candidates they need to take a look at. But they'll all look at the PIFs. So it's you have to take your due diligence to do it. It takes time. And we really thank all those on the pastor, the pulpit nominating committee who's working on this. And it's important for the leadership of our church. And we thank them for the work they're doing for us. In the meantime, I'm really happy that we have Pastor Wood here to be our interim pastor during this time. I believe that he'll be back and he's going to restart his Martin Luther series Tuesday night and Tuesday day. So, and he'll also be here for the session meeting on Wednesday. So thank you all very much for that.
Let's ask a question.
Yes.
Who's on the committee?
Kathy,
myself, Jim Eichner, Paul
McCown,
and Patty Paul.
And then also we have a representative from the Pittsburgh Presbytery, who's our liaison person. I don't remember his name offhand, but he assists the pulpit nominating committee.
Dave
Lavender. Yes. Answer your question.
Yes.
Any other questions? Yes.
When it's narrowed down to whether it's two people that are in the position, is there a way to have them come into the church?
Oh, absolutely. So, depending on where that person is at, the people from the PNC may go visit that congregation he has now and listen to a service. But at some point, clearly, the person who is being seriously considered will come here and come to the church. He'll give a sermon, and we'll get some chance to have some what we thought of that person. Okay? Yes.
But I also wanted to clarify that there's a little bit of a difference between Dave Wood and the interim position, which was determined by and approved by session only. When we look to hire a full-time pastor, that is a recommendation from the pulpit nominating committee directed to the congregation, and the congregation approves that person. So we will probably have the opportunity through that person, but while Dave is temporary and good, bad, or indifferent, and we on session did that, good, bad, or indifferent, the permanent person is the responsibility of the congregation. So that's why we wanted to take the time today to keep everybody aware of the process, to let you know that you really do play a role in the process. You elected the pulpit nominating committee at our last congregational meeting. And that's why we think it's important that everybody understand the process, because the vote does come to the congregation.
Yeah, it's the congregation's vote, and it's when the pastor is called. It's the call from the congregation for the pastor to serve here. So it is not a decision just a small number of people. Yes.
For everyone's information, Pastor Wood is not eligible to become a new pastor.
And he wants to retire here anyway, so that's his next move that he wants. But he's here as long as we need him. Yes, any other questions? Comments?
Yeah.
So yes?
He's only here for up to 18 months, correct?
It's nominally 18 months to 2 years. It's as long as we need, okay? We have to renew the contract we have with him. It's a year-to-year contract.
And that's coming up in February, correct?
Yes, yes. His anniversary is in February. Okay? Answer your question?
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Anyone else? Okay. Well, thank you all very much, and thank the PNC for their work and for this information. And as things happen, I hope the PNC can publish some information and keep people up to date, because it's really important to know that progress is being made. It's not a black hole back there where things are being done. So it's important in the life of the church. Okay. With that, we will go ahead and sing our hymn of response, Christ Beside Me, and we'll do a benediction. Number 702. As you prepare to leave the sanctuary today, remember those in need. Be in prayer for those directly and indirectly affected by the tragedy in Las Vegas. And continued prayers for all those recovering from the recent hurricanes. May they get the support and attention they critically need. With the help of our Lord, they will. Be reminded as we plan for the future of our church, we pray that the Lord is directing our steps. Be in prayer for our church and for the work of the Pulpit Nominating Committee. Rejoice in your faith in Christ. Go in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.